Raising women's voices, one story at a time. Welcome to the She Said Project Podcast. This is a super special episode of the She Said Project podcast. So welcome back. I'm Jeanette Jerzyk, your hosty host, national director of all things She Said. I've been working hard for that title for about 8 years. Carrie Rosso is here with me in the Illinois Public Media Studios, my gorgeous co-host, but one of the founders of That's What She Said and the She Said Project. I will forever, forever bow down to you, give you full credit. You and your friends, Jill and Casey, just had an inspiration and created something that was so special in your hometown of Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, that it needed to grow beyond. And that's why today's so special, because we're talking about the growth of That's What She Said.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And like I've said before, it was intended to be a one-night, I almost said one-night stand. Oops, Freudian slip.
Was it though?
It was intended to be a one-night stand. And then here we are all this time later. And so I still, on the regular, stop and just watch all that you're doing. And like, holy smokes, this is a runaway train. And the great thing is seeing all of these amazing women. And boy, did Danville deliver. I mean, the lead up to that was exciting. And it is not lost on me that it was like a dark and stormy night. It was just like the entire universe was pointing to Danville that night. It was an amazing show.
Very ominous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Carrie is talking about our inaugural show in Danville, Illinois, not far from where we sit in Champaign, Urbana, but a really beautiful, connected town that needed something like this to wake it up and say, hey, ladies, you got something to say. And we had talked about Danville for some time. There's this gorgeous theater in downtown that had been renovated. People had told me about it for years. In fact, when are you going to go to Danville? When are you going to be at the Fisher? And as you know, we have to wait until all the pieces align and the stars align and the cosmos align. And they did. They actually did, because we found our champion in that community, and her name is Amanda Kroos. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Hey, girl. Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you, one of the things that stands out to me from that night is it was an awesome show and all of those things. I loved the show flow and all of the speakers, but I got to chat with your mom for just a few minutes, and it was the highlight of my night. She was so, so proud of you, and it was really touching.
I think that was the highlight of her night, too, any opportunity to brag about me. I'm like, my skin is crawling just a little bit hearing this. I crawled that night, too, but you know, I really didn't tell her much about the show. She'd come to Champaign, so she knew what to expect, and she knew we were doing rehearsals, but I didn't really discuss it with her. I really wanted her to see it with a fresh set of eyes, and I think I joked that day with a friend, not knowing that this storm was going to blow into town, that we were going to blow the roof off the Fisher Theater. I think she definitely felt that, along with all the people that were in attendance that night.
And I'm so glad the storm didn't scare people away, because we had a beautiful crowd and the women were on point that night. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, where Amanda came from and how she became our Danville producer for That's What She Said. So Amanda and I met very much by chance through colleagues in the Junior League. She had relocated back to Danville after, you know, living your life in different cities, and you were looking for something, and our eyes locked across the room, I think. And we decided to work together and bring the show to
the people. So did you know what the show was? Did Jeanette, how did that play out?
Carrie, I love to tell this story. I had only heard rumblings of That's What She Said at some Junior League meetings. I mean, I'd been to like maybe two or three at that point. And yeah, Jeanette was the keynote at this women's conference that we were both attending. And I thought, this is absolutely what Danville needs. And not even, I say that's what Danville needs, but at that moment in my life, leading up to, I guess, the last 3 or 4 years, I'd never been so lonely in my entire life. Having moved away from a solid group of girlfriends and community and chasing my ambitions, you know, that gets lonely because you leave the people that you make great connection with. And so hearing about the work that That's What She Said does, and Jeanette and Carrie's story, you know, the story of the whole thing, it was just I was overwhelmed with emotion. And I really thought, this is the time. This is absolutely what I can dedicate time to. I didn't know it was going to happen so quickly, but I should have known better. I know myself pretty well, but it really was the universe aligning to say, this is time. And this is exactly what you're supposed to be doing right now.
Oh, I love hearing you say that. Because for those who don't know, Amanda is a life coach. And I love watching your social media because there's all these, first of all, inspirational quotes that pop up. But every now and then there's a picture of Amanda with something that says, tell me your auspicious goal and I'm going to help you get there. And you know, when you meet Amanda, when she sets her mind to something, it's going to happen and it's going to happen quickly. And that is exactly what happened. We turned that show around in less than 6 months. But can we just talk about the women that you found that you gathered together to be in that first show? It was, I mean, I have some new friends for life. I'll just tell you that.
How did you find them all?
I started asking. So I started telling people about That's What She Said. And I said, who would you like to see from this community take the stage to tell a personal story? Who needs to be on this stage? And I just started asking the few people in my network. And coincidentally or not, several names, you know, just kept coming my way. And it was strategic. You know, I had like this long list and I knew what I wanted. I wanted a pure reflection of Danville and Vermilion County. That was so important to me and such a guiding light. And, you know, I mean, I think there's that pressure to like, how do you do it again? But they really, truly were the perfect best cast for That's What She Said, Danville. And I love them all dearly. And I'm like, from day one, their biggest fan.
I have to agree. It was such a fun journey getting to know each of them and their stories. But today is actually about you. And even though you were the producer and MC for the evening, you shared a little bit. You had a story that you opened up the show with where you did reveal some about who you were and why the show was important to you. So we're going to go ahead and play that clip from the show night this past March so that our audience can get to know Amanda and really relive that moment that night with us for just a moment where you shared your story. Look at you, Danville, on stage. And That's What She Said, 2023 in Danville, Illinois. Here is Amanda Crose.
Hello, Danville. Woo! Dang, look at you. No, really. I need us all to take this moment in. Look around. Just be still in this moment. This is huge. Though, luckily for those of us gracing this beautiful stage tonight, we can't really see you. It's good news for us. Whew. We can hear you, though, so I encourage you to respectfully show your love and support throughout our show tonight. Let's give it a try. Yeah. Just like that. My name is Amanda Crose. I'm the regional producing partner for That's What She Said, Danville. And tonight, I'll be your MC. Over the last couple of months, I've gotten questions like, what's that she said thing? You're doing what at the Fisher? You mean that joke from The Office, right? Yeah. But my closest friends and family aren't surprised one bit that I decided to add producer to my long list of titles. You see, I'm a classic overachiever. Yeah, thank you. I don't know how long I've been like this, but I recall confidently telling a friend at 18 that I was going to make the world a better place. Of course, at 18, it came off way cockier than that. I honestly blame my Grandma Crose for my achievement drive. I spent a lot of time with her growing up. When I was bored or in trouble, she just magically appeared to pick me up. Little did my parents know I had secretly snuck off to make these arrangements. I think I may have somehow even faked mono in the third grade just to spend more time with her. She was my number one fan. She led me to believe I could do anything I set my mind to. My grandma would constantly encourage me as I put on fashion shows in her living room. I'd wear her slips as dresses and walk around in her bright red high heels while singing Roy Orbison's Pretty Woman. She would tell the other grandmas in the pretend audience how beautiful and special I was and how proud she was of me. This is all starting to make sense now, isn't it? But as an adult, I've made a life out of chasing achievements. Degrees, titles, cramming a 30-year career in education into a decade seemed like a good idea. My Midwest work ethic has made it all so easy. I thrive on hard work and getting shit done. So when completing my bachelor's degree, my husband began ever so lovingly to suggest that I get a hobby. This never really interested me much, though. Work has always been my hobby, specifically work worth doing. A few years ago, on a trip, while returning from a trip with a friend, it was suggested that maybe soap making could be my hobby. I loved buying locally made soap as a souvenir when we traveled, so why not give it a try? In that short, so short, 3-hour drive home from the beach, I had turned this suggested hobby into a business. Name, logo, mission statement, farmers market research. I had it all figured out. Shortly after starting that new hobby, like mid-first batch, it very quickly became Amanda's hobby by Josh. I just don't know how to hobby, but my husband does my hobby really well. Thanks, babe. My brain doesn't turn off. I see possibilities everywhere. Don't even get me started on my ideas for revitalizing the Village Mall. I am never satisfied with the status quo, and I have this unwavering belief that I can do anything I put my mind to and that you can too. I am so grateful to have women in my life who have believed in me and showed me that it was okay to believe in myself too. Because of them, I know that believing in yourself is a woman's greatest superpower. And I think, just maybe, I found a hobby that will stick, encouraging and supporting women to believe in themselves and to share their stories. Welcome to my new hobby.
Definitely can still recite it. Like, I think, I'm like, I do wonder, like, at what point will I forget it? Probably never.
What always stood out to me when we were working on the show was that Amanda knew that she had to be on stage. She knew that she was emceeing. That was agreed upon very early. And yet she was still hesitant about how much of her personal story she was going to let unfold on that stage. And we had some powerful moments during our rehearsal process where Amanda said, well, I don't like it to be all about me. I am about, you know, empowering you and everyone else. And we stopped and we made every woman at that table look Amanda in the eye and tell her something they admired about her. I've never seen a woman squirm so hard. She was so uncomfortable. But it was important. Yeah. For her to know that feeling, because that's what we aspire to for every woman who takes the stage.
It was so easy. It is so easy for me to build another person up. In fact, it's probably my life mission for someone to have such self-efficacy, to really believe in who they are and what they can accomplish. I never expect anyone else to do it for me. And I never expect that praise or recognition, because it's so important for me for other people to be seen. And so I am uncomfortable with it. I'm dismissive of it. I would much rather shine the light on someone else than take it myself. And that is interesting to me, because it doesn't mean that I am not confident and I don't know my worth. I very much do.
Well, I think
I'd much rather
it seems like that's just that is where you shine, that's your role. One of our co-founders, we always say, like, there's no way. We all sat around and had ideas and talked about things, but she was our biggest cheerleader. She's never done a story on the She Said stage, but she's the biggest cheerleader, the first one to say, we were like, yeah, but we don't know what we're doing. We don't have theater experience. And she was like, yeah, we can. We're going to do it. And then with the speakers, it was the same way. And I thought that you reminded me of her a lot that night, that you're just, that's where you're in the sweet spot when you're building other people up.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, my husband has actually said, like, recently, you need to pump the brakes, because people will tell me their ideas, or I'll come up with an idea, and then suddenly I've made it into a thing. And, you know, I mean, at this exact moment in our life, we don't really need any more things. And so he's like, can you just press pause for a moment? So momentarily, for a few more days, I will press pause, but then it's game on.
Yeah.
With anyone's idea.
And how is Josh's soap making business these days?
It is a classic. He didn't take my idea and plan into farmers markets and, you know, then Whole Foods and all of that. That
Rude.
Didn't go there, but he, yeah, I know. He very lovingly still makes soap for us and all of our friends and family. And it really is perfect.
Well, I'm so glad that he found joy in one of your many hobbies. But I actually loved that you referred to That's What She Said as a hobby. It is meant to be a joyful experience. It's meant to be kind of like a brief interlude in your life and not be, you know, it doesn't need to be year round. It's like, I've used this analogy, but I think it's so good. It's like a really powerful week at summer camp where you create memories, you make best friends, you know, you can never recreate it, but you'll never forget it. And that's what it's meant to be. So it can be a hobby, a powerful hobby, and it can go anywhere. Like it's a very portable, very portable, like event structure, because there is no shortage of women. There's no shortage of stories to be told. I like it as a vehicle for making friends. I've been told again and again that the reason the women get really close really quickly is because we cut out a lot of that small talk and chitter chatter that you typically have at a cocktail party or a networking event, mm-hmm. right? And from the day one, the very first meeting, you're like going for the jugular. You're talking about real hardcore stuff. And these women connect very quickly. Did you feel that?
Absolutely. And it was so perfect for me because I absolutely hate small talk. Like, get into the nitty gritty stuff. Tell me how you're feeling. What's on your mind? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's just always been natural for me to strike up a conversation. In fact, yesterday I made a new best friend at a friend's concert, and people thought we'd known each other for years, and she was my mother. And I'm like, oh no, we just met, but we cut right to it. I mean, and I think that's, you know, what I loved about you, Jeanette, is that we could just get to it. And that first rehearsal, I mean, I think either there's that hesitancy, there's that uncertainty of what did I sign up for and who are these people and can I trust them? And it is such a special thing that we're doing where that trust and that foundation of I've got you is solidified from day one. And that helps move past the small talk and break it down and just wrap your arms around one another.
You are speaking my language. Like, I have chills running up and down my spine right now. Like, you couldn't have said it better. That's exactly the environment we strive to create. And you feel the power. You feel the connection right away. We've had some of our Danville sisters on the podcast already, and it's been so much fun connecting with them and hearing the story behind the story and hearing, you know, what the experience meant to them. So for our podcast listeners, go ahead and search Danville on the She Said Project podcast if you want to catch up with some of our other friends. But, you know, every time we go into a new city, a new market, I don't ask anymore, is this gonna work? Will it play in Peoria? Mm-hmm. I have seen it play in Peoria and 10 other cities. And I know that it works because women are hungry for this kind of connection. And Amanda was the most perfect steward of the mission. And what she said is so true. We literally got to a point where we were co-directing. We were finishing each other's sentences when we were giving feedback to the women who, as they were working on their stories, we were so on the same page every time that it flowed beautifully. That would have been very hard if that was not the case, but we were very much in sync. Like I said, the planets aligned to make That's What She Said, Danville happen. It wasn't just a coincidence.
It really felt that way. And my husband had been a big, you got to take this to Danville for many years. He had been over there speaking with a group and he came home and said, hey, you know, this guy, he's going to be there and this guy's wife's going to be there. You got to find him tonight. And that, I thought, this, look at you, Danville. I got there and I asked an usher, do you know? And gave him some names. And he was like, oh, yeah. Walks me over. Here he is. And then, like, within 10 minutes, that community was just so inviting and welcoming. And I had to go back and tell my husband he was right. That doesn't happen very often, but he was.
Yeah, it was. It really was, you know, we keep saying the stars aligned so perfectly to have Jeanette and I meet, to have this incredible cast, and to have a sequence of events that had occurred in the community in the last 6 months to a year that not just me, but other women in the community were really looking for connection. They were looking to be seen and to be heard. And if we could offer that through, you know, a small cast of 8 or 9 women on the stage, people were feeling acknowledged. They were feeling validated, even if it wasn't their story yet.
Yep, yet is important.
I love that. I'm pretty sure there's more women in Danville that we're going to get to connect with as the show must go on. I know the women who were in the first cast are eager to help and see it grow. So your baby shall be taken good care of. Don't you worry.
I appreciate that so much. You know, I think that's the nature of what I do is I get things started. And as hard as it is to leave behind, I know that it's always in great hands. And I know that someone will do it better than me. It's the new iteration. And so I, you know, in my time in Danville, it was the best gift I could give the community and it was the best gift I could give myself. And without a doubt, I know there are women who are going to be beating down the doors to take the stage to share their story.
Well, as Jeanette said earlier, it translates. So, you know, no matter where you wind up, Colorado or Danville, the show waits for you.
Yeah. And it really, like, it's such a beautiful model. I mean, I come from a background in education. And so as soon as Jeanette and I started talking, I was like, okay, all right, lesson planning. Yep. Backwards planning. All right, I've got this. Like, here we go.
Here's your timeline. Here's your templates. Go.
Yeah, but here is like the filling in the blank. But otherwise, I was like, yeah, you can literally do this anywhere. And that's exactly what I think you should do.
And help us spread the word because we want to see this in as many cities as possible. Because, yeah, the power is there for the women who want it.
Thank you so much, Amanda, for bringing that to Danville. I think exactly the way you described it, it was a real gift to Danville and to you and to everyone who was part of it.
It will live in my memories forever. And I think, you know, I want to go back to something Jeanette said about my story. I called it a hobby. And afterwards, I had to sit with it. It didn't feel right to call it a hobby because what producing That's What She Said in those short 3 months and meeting the women and the community, that was really life-changing. And I take what I learned about myself, what the other women in the cast taught me, into every single day. And so it's so much more than a hobby.
Aww.
All right, Jeanette's crying. Jeanette's crying.
Amanda, that was beautifully, beautifully said. And I also love that you, what you said, you acknowledged that that's what you do. You start things. You launch things. And the fact that, yes, there is a sad side or a downside when you have to move on. The fact that you own your power, because that's your gift. Oh my gosh, the magic that you get to create for every community that you're in. You know, I know you have a history of, you know, being in education and creating, you know, programs. What did you say? You did a 30-year career in a decade, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you took ownership of your gifts, and not many people can get that clear on who they are and what they're meant to accomplish and be and bring to this, you know, this earth. And you did, and you do, and you get to. So I celebrate that. I celebrate you.
I think that's the piece about my story. When I started writing, I was answering the question, and that happened for years, I guess, answering the question, why am I like this? And thinking that there was something like wrong with the way that I moved through life. And leading up to That's What She Said, and then writing my story, it was really owning, no, these are some really awesome things about me, and they're what make me unique. They're what make me special. And if I can share these gifts with others, game on. That's the perfect life right there.
Game on. That's exactly right. I hope every woman here listening knows that when you find your gift and you acknowledge that it's what makes you special and not what makes you difficult or different, you know, you can really live in your purpose and live an amazingly powerful life. And you, Amanda, you inspire other women to do the same in your coaching business, but even just knowing you has impacted me and the women of Danville. And we are forever grateful, forever grateful. Wherever you are,
same.
Yeah, you're in my heart.
Oh, same, same. I carry the attributes of each of the women in the cast with me every single day.
Yeah, they're pretty great women. So I am going to keep hanging out with them because they're too awesome. So my new friends.
Please do. A little jealous.
We'll send pictures. All right. That's all the time that we have for today's episode. It's always fun to reconnect, get together with women who've been on the stage, women who've, you know, who've brought That's What She Said to life in their communities. You know, everyone's got a story. We believe you have a story. And Carrie and I are just so grateful that we get to connect with these women who've spent a little bit of time with us sharing their stories here on the She Said Project podcast.
Over and out.
Thank you for listening to the She Said Project podcast in partnership with Illinois Public Media. All materials contained in the podcast are the exclusive property of the She Said Project and That's What She Said LLC. For more information on our live shows, go to shesaidproject.com. This podcast was made possible with support from Carl and Health Alliance and presented by Sterling Wealth Management, empowering women to live their best lives.
Thank you so much.